Coming up on our season premiere of BYU football with Kalani Sitake. It's Kalani's 10th season on the BYU sidelines, and the 2025 campaign kicks off in only 4 days with Portland State in Provo. We've got the coach, and we're catching up with Chase Roberts next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU athletics.
All right. Good evening. And hello, Cougar Nation. For the first time in the 2025 college football season, we welcome you back inside Studio C in the BYU Broadcasting Building on the BYU campus in Provo, Utah, for our week one edition of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, your exclusive weekly look inside the BYU football program. As always, we have a live and lively, yes, lively studio audience with us here tonight. And we thank you for tuning in live or on demand on the BYU TV and BYU Radio apps along with ESPN+. All right, coming up on tonight's season premiere, we will find out what Kalani's been up to since our last show last season. Deep Blue returns with a profile of the Cougars' clutch kicker, Will Farron. Senior wide receiver Chase Roberts is our special guest in studio. In tonight's Fun and Games segment, we're playing Chase's Choice with Chase Roberts. We'll preview the season opener with Portland State and see what the Cougars are wearing on the weekend. So let's get our Sitake Show season debut underway by welcoming in the man who brings us all together on Tuesday nights. He is the head coach of your BYU Cougars. He is head coach Kalani Sitake. And that's Ruth Haymooley, tonight's lay girl, with the lay for Kalani. Thank you, Ruth.
What's up, guys?
Welcome back.
Good to be back. Here we go, man. It's going to be fun. By the way,
yes.
Happy birthday.
Oh, Greg. Thank you very much.
Happy birthday. So, you know how much we love you. I just want to make sure that you know that I didn't embarrass you a little bit. And he's so efficient that it's also his anniversary. So, Tana, happy anniversary, too. So
this is true.
She's over there by Pops. I think she sees my Pops. Yeah, so.
Yes.
Go ahead, Wayne.
So it's all about efficiency.
Efficiency.
I never forget my anniversary. So works out pretty well. Thank you, Kalani. And we'll be doing birthday wishes for you here in a couple months.
Oh, man. The big 5-0. So
yeah, it's coming.
That can wait. We'll
it is coming. How's your offseason been?
It's been good. Yeah, I mean, camp was fun this season. I think after last year, the guys are just really excited to get to work. And, you know, I think going into the off season, I was worried about complacency or guys just kind of being feeling happy with what they've been able to do. But it was the opposite. The guys were super hungry, wanted to do more. And that took place in the first workouts. And so I'm fortunate to get to coach wonderful young men. And I have great staff. There's the retention. We were able to keep everybody, and so that was really good. And so I'm around really good people that are really good and bright and innovative and creative in their ideas. And they're great teachers. And then I get to coach awesome young men, and I get to be in front of the best fan base in the world. So here we go.
You know, it's not like I don't see you at all in the off season. In fact, we were together for about a week on a ship.
Yeah.
We had our first cruising with the Cougs in the off season. Anybody here ended up on the ship with us, cruising with the Cougs? Some hands up there. Yes, by way of applause. Yeah. So that was a really cool thing, a first time thing, and we had a blast.
Yeah, I had a great time, and I think I took a picture with everybody that was there. So we knocked it out, but it was a lot of fun. And you know, I think the only thing I ask is for nobody to take a picture with me with my shirt off. I haven't been working out enough to get that done, but maybe the next cruise in a couple of years we'll be able to do that.
It will be, and another one is coming, folks, believe me. This is the first season you've coached without Tom Holmo as your boss, as the AD. We said so long to Tom in the off season as well, and brought in Brian Santiago as our new AD. What a great run Tom Holmo had here at BYU.
Yeah, and just really appreciated to, just for me, appreciating him, who he is, and his leadership. And, you know, it's nice that we speak the same language, the language of Lavelle Edwards. which is BYU football and BYU sports. And so, you know, I know that he's got more fun things to do right now, but man, I do miss him. But I think he left the department in a really good position right now, and looking forward to the new leadership, but also remaining to a lot of the good, wholesome things that Tom Homo was about.
We had an 11-2 season last year in your ninth year as head coach. Recollections of last year as you look back?
Yeah, I was happy with some of the things that we were able to do, but my job as head coach is to make sure that we play at our best 12 times, and then hopefully we can earn more opportunities to play after that. Felt like we did that in some moments, but not really together in a complete game. So looking forward to having that done this Saturday. It's really not about who we're playing. I mean, we respect our opponents, but we want to be able to play at our best. And I don't think you expect perfection, but you know that you can do things way better than what we've done before. And that's my focus as a head coach.
How do you feel the program is set up in its third season now as a Power Conference member in the Big 12?
Yeah, I think we're in a really good spot. I mean, I think the key is being able to hang on to our coaches and our, I mean, before Jay Hill got there, we were teaching so many new things, defensive concepts and schemes, that was the learning curve already to begin with. But now in the third year, it's like the players, the veterans are teaching the young guys. And so it's a really cool feeling, and that's what the culture set up to do, is allow the players ownership and empower them to lead the team and to help others.
How nice was it to have some football to watch this past weekend?
Yeah, that was fun, and we got to watch our first two opponents, you know, on TV. And so it was just good to get football back, and usually when we do this show, that means that football's here for BYU, and I like the show, don't get me wrong, but I want to get this over. I want to get the Saturday already and play the game.
You. Yeah. Well, on this show, we do review the Cougs' preceding game by taking a look at highlights and stats at this point of the program. Turns out that the preceding game happened 8 months ago in San Antonio. It was the Alamo Bowl pitting BYU and Colorado. I haven't actually seen these highlights in a while. So let's fire up the video, take a look at highlights and stats presented by Waystar. This was BYU and CU in San Antonio at the Alamo Bowl, and LJ Martin got things underway. It was a 7-0 BYU lead that became a 10-0 BYU lead and another long field goal from Will Fair, and that was 51 yards. Cougs got clever. Farron with the onside kick, recovered by BYU. Jake Retzloff was in this game for the Cougs in his junior season finale. And this was, we're going to see Reiner Swanson again sometime, but that was Reiner Swanson in this game. Parker Kingston had one of the memorable moments of the contest, a 64-yard kickoff return, a punt return for touchdown.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. And just, I mean, it's good that you can catch the ball and not have to fumble it and then pick it up and then run it back.
Will Farron had his second long field goal of the night. That was 54 yards. A tremendous deflection interception from Evan Johnson. Evan is back in on the corner for BYU this year. Sione Moa, great game, 13-yard touchdown. It was 27-0 for BYU at that point. It became 33-7 on an LJ Martin touchdown run. Isaiah Glasker picked off Shadur Sanders and had a little Dion shuffle at the end of that play. And then the final score for BYU, we'll see it again from Glasker, and he is back, and that's good news for BYU. And then Will Farron closed things out with a 31-yard field goal. 36-14 was your final. It was a great night all around for BYU football.
Yeah, a really good game. I'm the coach, so I think we could have played better than that still. So I'm hoping that we can the great momentum off of that and going into the offseason, but even our players know we can play better. So I'm looking forward to hopefully getting that done this weekend.
Okay, you've had 3.5 weeks of prep to get ready for Portland State, which includes training camp, moving into Portland State prep. How do you look back on what was training camp for BYU here in 2025?
Yeah, I thought we were really physical. I mean, we wanted to play football, and we were in the quarterback competition, so we needed to see those guys in stressful situations, leading the offense and going against a really difficult defense. And we need to work on the fundamentals. And I don't know how you get better at tackling unless you go and tackle. And I don't know how you get better at being physical unless you spar it out. So I compare it to sparring for a prize fighter. We had to spar and we had to scrimmage quite a bit. So we had a lot of live sessions. And the unfortunate part is that sometimes you have live sessions and guys get banged up. But I think that was the price we had to pay to get our team ready to roll.
When we lost Jake, we knew it would be a true quarterback competition between Bear Bachmeyer and Trayson Borgay and McKay Hillstead and even Emerson Guilman, who played really well for a young kid. How did Bear ultimately win that competition?
Yeah, it's all settled on the field. We want to see those guys perform, and I think when we made the announcement, I think the team, the feeling in the building was that guys kind of knew that this was going to be the decision. But you know, it's if you're looking for what's more convenient, they probably wouldn't have gone this way, but I don't know any other way than to let the field settle it, and that way our guys know that they can keep competing. But we encourage the other quarterbacks to keep going. What's happened is that all the quarterbacks' game is elevated, and they're all better because of the competition. So we want them to keep improving, keep progressing. But it's the right thing to do is give Bear that opportunity.
Don't want to forget Cole Hagan also in the quarterback room for BYU as well. Some new additions, exciting additions for BYU. I'll throw a few names at you. Andrew Gentry, Carson Ryan, Tiger Bachmeier, Keon Utanavasa, Justin Kirkland. These are big gets for BYU.
Yeah, and they fit perfectly with the culture, with the mission of our team, mission of our university, and the mission of our church. And so, you know, we messed up in recruiting the first time, so let's not do it again. And what we're trying to do is make sure that we get these young men out of high school. And that would be the best way to do it. But it's nice that we've been afforded the transfer portal, and that we can actually find guys that fit and that want to be here for the right reasons. And it's aligned with what we're trying to accomplish on and off the field. And so I'm really excited about the fact that they were able to join our program, and it was a easy transition for all of them. And that's saying a lot about them and their character and their integrity, but also the men on our team. So I'm looking forward to it. It was a really cool feeling, and those guys they love each other. So now let's go out and hit somebody else for once, you know.
We saw captains and co-captains announced for BYU, and among those captains is a newcomer. Keon Utanavasa stepped right in as a leader on this program.
Yeah, Keon is a great leader, and he's gone through some tough things, you know, but I applaud him for doing what he feels is right and to leaning to what, you know, the Spirit has talked to him, what spoke to him. And so it's a good way to live your life. And it also helps that he's violent on the football field and he's really aggressive. But he has a great heart, and he does things the right way. And so it makes sense that he's with us, and I'm glad that he's with us as a leader and also, you know, as a brother to his teammates.
It all kicks off this Saturday, home to Portland State. Let's take a look at the 2025 BYU football season schedule. With the Vikings in town to open things up, it is presented by Smarty, Address Data Wizards. You see Portland State followed by Stanford, and as Coach mentioned, both teams had games during week zero. Stanford went to Hawaii to open the season. Stanford will have a week off before they come to BYU on the 6th. An early bye week, Coach, for you on September 13th. You see the schedule play out until your second bye in early November. It's another year, back-to-back years with two byes. How do you think it worked out last year for you?
Yeah, I think we did the right thing by having the sports scientists and our you know, our strength conditioning group organize the schedule. We know exactly where we're supposed to be in week one, week two, and week three in the bye. And so we've prepped our team. We're ready to go. These guys are... their legs are coming back, and they're going to start feeling fresh. They look really good in practice today, and I can't wait to let them roll on Saturday night. It's going to be fun.
It's shaping up as a sold-out season at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. There are only a handful of tickets for most games at this point. I think every game may end up being officially sold out. How does it feel to be in that kind of a situation where the demand is so high for your tickets and the team is playing at such a high level, and Lavelle Edwards Stadium is one of the most fearsome places to play, especially when it's nighttime in Provo?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I think anyone that's been to that game and the newcomers that haven't experienced it on the sideline or on the field, everyone keeps talking to them about it. And I just don't know any other way to explain it than you just have to go through the experience. And it's an unbelievable experience that you can just get out there and yell your voice out and then it preps you for some reason to get ready for church the next day.
Somehow it works out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, get out there and magnify your calling as much as you can.
that's what I try and do in the booth. All right, time for our first break. This reminder that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, and it's so great to have Kalani back, we'll go deep blue with Will Farron, and Chase Roberts joins us in Studio C as BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. Stay with us.
Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics, Waystar, and Smarty, Address Data Wizards.
All right, welcome back. What a great crowd here in Studio C tonight. Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. It's on this show that we premiere weekly our BYU football player profiles. You know them as Deep Blue, and they're presented by Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Dive deeper today at DeseretBook.com. And tonight we're kicking off our season of features with a special look at special teamer Will Farron. Will's clutch factor is more than just ice in his veins. It's the result of hard work and dedication to mental preparation as well as the physical that allows him to perform at times when it's needed most. Here now, Deep Blue with our kicker, Will Farron.
For the lead for BYU. Snap, hold, kick, on the way. Kick is good!
When I was a sophomore in high school, we played the first round of the playoffs.
It was raining, it was cold, it was miserable.
We ended up being down by one in the fourth quarter. With a minute left in the game, they sent me on to hit a 47-yard field goal to win the game. And I just remember being on the sideline thinking, there's no way. Thinking back, I missed that kick before I even went on the field.
The boys came out of the locker room crying. Like, these are big football boys, and they are crying coming out.
And I thought there was no way I was going out there, so I walked all the way through the school, out the front doors to my car, and all the way home, and texted my parents and told them I was at home waiting for them. I started kicking in fifth grade, and I was on a team as just the kicker. That's a lot earlier than most people, but that was where my love for kicking started, and it just built up from that point.
Will embraced football kicking on his own. He became self-taught.
He was at a camp, and one of the coaches were like, this kid could be a D1 player. And Jim and I were both like, really? Like, he's that good? So I think it was then that we realized, okay, he has something here.
We learned the process of college recruitment by doing it. You know, nobody taught us, nobody showed us. We didn't know what we were doing.
I got opportunities to walk on at Utah and Utah State and ended up committing to Utah State. But when I went on my mission, their coaching staff got fired and things were in the air again.
And so the new coaches that came in didn't know Will or care about Will. And one of the fired coaches at Utah State was the special teams coordinator who had recruited him there, and he landed at Boise State. He reached out to Will while he was in Canada and said, when you get home, come and play for me at Boise State. And that seemed like a pretty good solution.
We started talking about transferring, it was probably towards like the end of a second season at Boise, so we had been there for a whole season after we got married, and we were starting to realize like, oh, this other kicker's really good, he has the same eligibility left.
So we decided to just go for it and to hit the transfer portal, not really knowing what was ahead of us, but with the hope to come back home and be in the state of Utah at least.
He talked to like a couple different schools and was like saying different things about them. And then he like gave me a present before Christmas that had like a BYU shirt in it. And I was like so excited. I was like, oh, you decided to go there? Because I kind of just told him, you choose and I'll just be happy with wherever. But like deep down, I was kind of hoping that's where we would end up. And I'm so glad that we did.
When I was working with BYU Athletics in early 2023, I was at spring practice. He approached me. Hey, I'm a transfer from Boise State. I have recognized over the years since high school how important the mental game is. Yes, for football, but even more specifically for kicking. And I hear you're a mental performance coach. And so I would love to sit down and chat and figure out how we can start training the mind. And him initiating that was huge for me because it was a light bulb moment for me going, ooh, you know, this is gonna be fun because I can tell he wants this.
So we started working about once a week at first. And he taught me about visualization and about meditation and just how to develop a process and prepare for the season. And I found that doing that brought so much confidence to my game.
We had built up a routine from a psychological, emotional, and physical standpoint to be able to, in theory, be comfortable in the uncomfortable. It was and is a beautiful illustration of him willing to do whatever is necessary to be successful.
We're in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and it was pouring rain. All the great stories that seems to apply to.
It was so cold. I don't think I've ever been so cold and wet. It was coming down to where we knew Will was going to have to tie it up, and he hadn't been on the field the whole second half.
And I remember thinking, this is it. This is exactly what we would go over. And here he has the opportunity. And for him, and I know he's described it this way, it was a pivotal hinge on his career.
The Oklahoma State kick was really similar in terms of distance and weather to the kick back in my sophomore year of high school. And that time going from my sophomore year of high school to being a college kicker, I grew a lot in terms of mentally being able to handle pressure.
This is his chance, finally, his opportunity to showcase, yes, to the rest of the people watching, but mostly to himself.
For pretty much every kicker, it's the same, where we take 3 steps back and 2 to the side. And I take my 3 steps back and just take a big breath in and out. The holder will look at me and wait for my okay. And I'll say out loud, okay, even though no one can hear it. But for me, hearing my own voice, there's something calming to it, and it makes the moment feel a little bit smaller.
I've never been around a kicker that's so confident, but at the same time, not cocky at all, and very humble to just continue to work and learn and grow and develop.
I've seen him like bummed out, but I've never seen him like angry or upset about it. He like acknowledges the failure, but he just like talks it through and then is like, okay, let's move on now.
Like he really does love what he does. Like he's really a happy kid. Like he's really happy doing what he's doing right now.
There's days that we don't want even kick field goals at the end of practice, and he's there cheering the guys along. He's a great leader for our team. It just seems like he's always been ours. And so I'm glad that he's here and glad that he's really good at winning games for us too.
He's having fun playing football, even at really high pressure situations. His smile before he kicked the Utah field goal and winning the game was an indication of that. And so I think he can teach us, and especially youth athletes, that you gotta have fun on the daily. You gotta find it, you gotta cultivate it.
I think it was like, this is a process that works for us. Just keep it loose and try not to keep it too serious. It's serious enough as it is.
People always ask me if I naturally have the clutch factor, if I naturally have had a big leg or anything like that. And I think the answer to both of those is no. But I have found something I'm really passionate in, and I've worked really hard at it. It takes commitment and it takes a lot of hard work to do it. But if you are willing to do that, then anything's possible.
Well, one of the best kickers in the country, and he's back for another season.
Yeah, and just what a cool story. Just, he's gone through a lot, and that we get him such a cool moment. But for him to grow and learn, even from the mistakes from high school, and then we get the benefit of seeing him correct all those. And so a lot of work goes in between where people don't get to see it. But even in the Utah game, when he's getting ready to kick the field goal, everyone's kind of panicked because they want to know where the kicker wants, which hash, middle of the field or wherever. And he's over there. And I'm trying not to bother the kicker. I mean, maybe it's superstition, but I just don't want to bug him. But I just hear him laughing. He's like, it doesn't matter. Just. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to just get me ready. I was ready to kick the ball. And it gave me a huge sense of calm and confidence. And he went out there and he just did what he said he was going to do. And it's not just winning games. I know I said he wins games. It's like all the little things that he does. You see him walking off the field and talking to Sam. He's such a positive guy that it just oozes out of him, you know. Optimism and positivity and the energy that he gives off, and you can't help but see when you see him, you can't help but be happy, and he shares that with everybody. And so I know that he's a great kicker. He's got a great leg and he can do a lot of different things, but it's his leadership that everyone's tuned into, and that happens from going through some struggle and going through some adversity and then overcoming it with things like the gospel and things that he with family and love, people that are there to help him get through it.
He's going to end up in BYU's record book in a lot of different categories. And it was also nice to see Sam Vanderhart, because he's back for you as well. Two of the best kickers in the country, both place kicking and punting, are back. You bring in a nice long snapper in Garrison Grimes. Special team should be good for BYU again this year.
Yeah, should be. It's just one, like I say it all the time.
You always say more PATs than field goals.
I love Will, but kick PATs more than field goals, and I'll be happy.
So. All right. Like teammate Will Farron, tonight's special in-studio guest was a pick on the preseason All-Big 12 team and enters his senior season in the top 25 in BYU career receiving yardage. By the end of the season, he should be firmly in the top 10, has a shot at the top 5 as well. He's a leader on and off the field, and he leads off our list of special guests on the Sitake Show this season. Please welcome back to Studio C, the pride of American Fork, Mr. Chase Roberts.
What's up, bro?
How you doing?
Oh, man.
Are you right here?
You're right here.
Okay.
Great to have you.
Yeah. I heard it's a special day for you.
Well,
have we mentioned that yet? That it's your birthday? Okay.
We sang to
you're very nice to say that, though. Okay. I appreciate you, Chase.
I missed the celebration, though.
It's all good. We have a Calgary connection, by the way. I came down to BYU from Calgary, Alberta, and Chase served his mission in Calgary, Alberta. So we got that going. Speaking of missions, I want to show you something before we get into our conversation. This is something from post-practice last week. Let's take a look at this.
Okay.
You are assigned to labor into Brazil, South...
All right, that's our young and very talented quarterback, Emerson Guilman. A very unique and cool moment for the team, sharing in the joy of a player receiving a mission call. Now, for those maybe Big 12 members in our audience who are unfamiliar watching maybe tonight, missionaries for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints typically serve between 18 months to 2 years. They serve voluntarily, and the missions are self-funded. Some BYU student-athletes elect to fulfill their missionary service after they graduate high school and defer the enrollment to BYU. Others, like Emerson Guilman you saw, take a break from studying and competing at BYU and then perform their missionary service partway through their time as a student athlete. So, Chase, what does it mean to you, having been a missionary who left home to share the gospel, to know what's in store for Emerson?
Yeah, we had a lot of conversations beforehand, too, and, you know, him playing actually really well during fall camp and being one of the guys that, you know, surprised us. You know, he could be a player for us in the next couple of years, and but he knew that, and as we talked, that a mission was a priority in his life and that everything will fall into place the way it needs to if he puts the Lord first. And that's the kind of discussion that we had. And with all the other return missionaries, they had the same advice for him. Is when you put the Lord first, things will work out the way they need to. And he's gonna make sure that you get your opportunity. And if not, just trust the Lord that, you know, he has a plan for you. And Emerson's one of those kids that understood, you know, fully and wholeheartedly, and he was ready to go serve a mission and put the Lord first in his life.
When you look back on how you grew in your missionary service, how do you think Emerson will grow in his life and even as an athlete as he goes and serves?
There's a lot of ups and downs when it comes to being a missionary, and it teaches you a lot about not only life in general, but football. And I don't think I'd be the football player that I am today without my mission experience, you know, being able to go through the hard times and learning how to trust in God and follow the Spirit. And I feel like there's many times on the field where I have to have the Holy Ghost with me during certain plays, blitzes, things like that. And you'll talk to Connor Pay about some of his experiences too, and guys that have served missions where they can look back and they knew that the Spirit was with them, you know, on the field. And it's pretty cool to have those experiences, to be able to look back on and then help you become, you know, a better football player.
Kalani, as a former missionary yourself, who now coaches a lot of returned missionaries, do you feel you tap into that mission experience as a coach?
Yeah, of course. I think the key is the mission isn't easy. So you think about young men and young women leaving at the prime part of their life where a lot of others would be willing to do that, and you are basically paying for it to go into a different land, and for many to learn a new language, and then to be rejected over and over and over and over again. And then when you get that opportunity to share the gospel, it makes those moments even better. And so when you're out there and you're going through all that, So I hope that a lot of people can just take care of their missionaries when they see them out on the field. But it's not supposed to be easy, but that's why you remember it and you love it so much, you know. And so in football, it's similar. Like, you have 12 guaranteed games. That's what you have. And if you're healthy and you get those opportunities, but then what are you doing the rest of those days during the year? You're prepping for that. And I mean, I think it's obvious. Nobody wants to go to the gym and work out, but you just find yourself doing it. And some of those days are really hard, but it makes it worthwhile when you get those special opportunities where you have victories and you get to perform with your brothers. And I think the mission, there's a lot of different correlations in life to how hard the mission, I mean, and you're serving others, even if they don't know it. You're still serving them and trying to find ways to love them. It's amazing.
Thanks for that. Chase, you committed to Kalani and BYU more than 8 years ago.
Yeah.
It was after your sophomore year of high school.
Yep.
You've been a BYU guy for a long time. Don't you think?
Oh yeah. No, it's been awesome. I've loved every single moment of this, you know, these 8 years that I've been committed here. And I felt like I've kept that commitment strong, and I'll always keep that commitment to BYU and be coming back even when I'm, you know, done here. This has been a special moment in my life, and to just have the honor to be able to represent a university like this, to be coached by Coach Kalani, it's unlike anything else, and I couldn't imagine being anywhere else.
So. Your dad played here, your brother plays here now,
yeah.
You're in the middle of it. You served a mission during COVID, you came to BYU in 2021, redshirted. Mm-hmm. You played your first games in 2022. Do you remember your first catch as a Cougar?
I do, actually. It was against UCF. We were away. We had to wait about 3 hours
USF?
In the locker room. USF, sorry.
Yes.
That's correct. USF.
South Florida.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, we were in Tampa.
We were in Tampa. We had to wait about 3 hours for the rain and lightning to stop.
Big storm that day. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got this little option route to the outside and caught about an 8-yard pass.
We'll call it 13.
13. There you go. See?
I might have done some research on this.
Yeah, I just remember like getting the
usually
ball.
Usually it'd go the other way. It's like a 20-yard pass.
I know.
You're,
I know.
With the 8 yard.
I actually, yeah, it was 13 because I remember catching the ball and then diving another 5 yards.
You're right. 8 plus the yak.
Yeah, there I definitely go. Didn't have to dive, but I think my adrenaline was going so much I just dove and yeah.
That's awesome. By the way, it was in the second half. Your first catch came in the second half of the game. He ended up as the leading receiver that night, 3 for 41 in that game. Jaren Hall was the quarterback. Real quickly before the break, you've started each of your 4 playing seasons with a different starting quarterback.
Yeah.
You've had Jaren Hall, Keaton Slovis, Jake Retzlaff, now Bear Bachmeyer. What do you like about the youngster?
Oh, I love Bear. I think his personality is perfect for what we do here at BYU, our culture and the offense that we run and his resiliency. When we get into the huddle, he always says something that's like witty and fun and gets us pumped up. And the coaches don't really see that, but all the players do, and they trust him because of the way that how calm he is when he gets us fired up before we start our drive, whether it's against the third string defense, whether it's against the starting defense. He's always wanting to show out and be a leader for us, and it's cool to see a young guy like that step up into that role and be as calm as he is.
Great to hear. We are visiting with Chase Roberts. Coming up next, we'll have some fun and games with Chase and Kalani as we continue on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Stay with us. All right, this is BYU Football. We are presented, as always, by Intermountain Health. It is time for our fun and games portion of the evening, and with Chase Roberts as our special guest tonight, we're going to play a rousing round of a game we are calling Chase's Choice.
Is that me?
He is going to rank his best catches.
When did you model for this?
I do not remember this.
That is a chiseled physique. All right, we are going to ask Chase to blind rank 10 of your top catches at BYU. So we'll show you
10.
A catch, and you've got to place it in a top 10 somewhere.
Okay.
So you don't want to go too high
blind
too early.
Rank.
And so,
okay.
So, and these are in no particular order. So we don't know if the best one's coming first or last or what. So we're going to show you 10 catches. Your job is to blind rank them. Say I'd put that 9th best, 8th best, 7th best, top. Here we go.
Is there correct order?
It's all up to you. It's up to you, man. It's how you see it. All right. The first catch We're going to last year at UCF.
Yeah.
The day the rocket launched. This is right before halftime. Catch at the sideline, shakes off the defender. Now it's a foot race to the end zone. Touchdown, Chase Roberts. All right, so that's catch number one. Where do you put that catch? If we were to list 10 catches tonight, where would this rank?
That one was awesome. I think it was one of my longer catches. We needed the momentum to go into half, and that was an exciting moment. I would put that at, let's put it at seven.
Seven. Okay, we're going to say it's Chase's seventh of the top 10. So we're going to keep the tally going. We're going to call that one.
Six, seven.
Number seven. We'll say seven. We'll say seven.
Do you get that?
I already know what number one is for me, so that's all I care about.
He didn't get what I was.
He went touchdown versus UCF. You're calling it seven. Or
yeah.
six, seven.
Six, seven.
Yeah.
these two don't get it, but.
I don't know.
All the kids. It's a.
Oh, is it like a. All right. Sorry, guys.
Okay, you mentioned the birthday. I'm 58, all right? Yeah. I don't get this stuff. Best I can. No, all right.
I'm going to find out at the end of this show, though.
Just ask Bessie.
Okay.
You're with me on this, aren't you?
Yeah.
No clue.
I have no idea.
Good, good. All right, next catch. What are we going to go to? We're going to go to last year. This is Laramie. We're going to call this one Laying Out in Laramie.
Yeah,
double throw. Back to Jake from Pokai, I think it was. And you have to full extension.
Yeah. This one, Kalani got a little mad at me because I didn't say anything to him, but I guess I got a little intense after. You can see me kind of.
You might stand up and you might have a little bit of a moment here.
Yeah.
As, let's see.
Right there. And then Kalani came up and calmed me down a little bit, but I was fired up. It was an exciting play. Let's put that at four.
Well, he's holding you from the beginning. That's
Yeah. And I think I had to get,
I've been angry for less than that, so it's okay.
And just reminding him what's up at the end there.
I said, I said some nice
Don't encourage him, guys.
All right, that's going to go as number four. Fair enough. All right, we're going to last year again. This is the final drive, the game-winning drive against Utah.
Oh, yeah.
So you need this catch to, I think, stay in the game at this point. Got to go low and haul it in. Huge moment when it came. It ends up, of course, a few plays later with the Will Ferentz field goal. BYU really needed this. Your thoughts on this one?
Ooh, that's going to go number two. Let's go number two on that.
All right.
Yeah.
Utah game.
Utah,
needed it.
That was just a remarkable, like, miracle type moment for us. And to have it in Rice-Eccles Stadium and to be with your brothers and, you know, what that means to – you watch those games since you were a little kid. BYU, Utah, and so having being able to have a big time catch in that game, it was pretty special.
Okay,
so
since he's put it as number two, my guess is he thinks he knows what number one's gotta be.
I gotta keep.
So let's see.
One.
All right, let's go to catch four. This is also last year, and this is also a game winning drive, and this is against Oklahoma State needing it. What do you think about this one?
That was That was was it fourth down? Fourth down, yeah.
Did you wave your arm?
I definitely wanted it earlier.
Like, yeah, hurry up, Jake.
That was when I told Jake, I said, throw it to me, I'm going to be open. Just because I knew we needed a catch. I knew what coverage they were.
Yeah.
That one was awesome. Let's go put that at, let's put it at number four. Did I already take number four?
I think we already got four.
Let's
I think three's open.
Let's go three.
So number two and number three are both these clutch catches in the would-be game-winning drive, so they're huge. Excellent. All right, so that's going to go number three. I think we'll now have a 2, 3, and 4 filled up once we get the board active here. There we go. Okay.
Oh, shoot, so I already took away all the.
Filling up the top five. We're gonna have some good catches at the bottom here, I'm afraid. All right, this is catch number five, and this takes us to 2023 at Arkansas.
Oh. Yeah, this one was fun. I'm
This is what you were saving number. You were saving that spot, weren't you?
No, that wasn't it. No,
it wasn't.
That's not the one I'm thinking of, unfortunately.
Oh,
so
wow.
Shoot. 10? I guess it wasn't very impressive for my kid over here. So I guess we'll put it at 10.
No. All right, I must be really old then.
Okay. All right. The most amazing, one of the most amazing catches we've ever seen will go 10.
Here's the thing.
One catch that we'll never see again, number 10.
All right, one-hander versus Arkansas. He's that good. All right.
the rest are for this year.
All right, yeah. Catch number six is a 2023. This is a touchdown against Cincinnati, I think. Let's see how this one shapes up. Keaton?
Oh, yeah.
That's the one, yeah.
I like this.
Was he throwing it to you?
Yes, he was. Yeah, I think.
Okay, I think.
Yeah. No, he was.
All right.
That one was awesome. That was my first ever kind of breakaway TD where I felt like I had a little bit of speed in me. That one's up there. It's hard. I'd put that, let's go right after the, did I go six for the other one? So I have a seven now. Let's go seven.
You have a seven open. Let's see the board here. We'll see what we got left. I know we have a one left for sure, right? And then maybe an 8, 9, 10. What do we have?
There we go.
You put that. You already had a seven, so we're gonna make that. You said, "Well, hey, here you go, six,
let's
seven."
Let's go six.
Yeah.
Seven.
Okay. So that one's gonna go six. Okay. Since he's gonna go six, there we go. So what we have left is a one, a five, an eight, and a nine.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect. That's yeah.
Okay. Seven. Catch seven here is 2023 touchdown against Oklahoma.
Okay.
Take a look at this one. Oh, little sidestep.
Yeah.
Little how do you do into the end zone.
That was a fun one. That was a fun game. Unfortunately, we weren't able to pull that one through. I'll put that at nine.
Okay, so nine goes there.
I don't know how that's better than the Arkansas one.
I know. That was his fault.
He painted himself.
You're catering to the kids. It's okay, but.
That was an audience assist. All right, so we're putting that at nine, you say, right?
Can we maybe switch? Let's go one-hander five.
Okay, we're now going to have to edit the board. We're going to put the 10 at number 5, just for the record. So we're going to leave open 8, 10, and 1.
Okay.
If we can make that happen. We may or may not be able to make it happen on the board, but that's what we want to do.
That's okay.
All right, catch 8 for us. 2022, we're going back a couple years.
Hey, there we go.
Look at that. That's how good
that looks
we are.
Better.
That's on the fly. All right, so 1, 8, and 10. Yeah. Where does the Baylor toe-tap touchdown in 2022 end up? Let's take a look at it. This is down in Waco.
That's a little screen pass.
Screen.
So funny thing about this play is I was not supposed to catch it that close to Jake. So when he went up, can I stand up?
Or sure, by all means.
See me?
Yeah.
So he went to move his foot. You're supposed to move your foot to send me in motion, but he was getting set and kind of going like this. So I thought he said motion. So I started going. And then as soon as he saw me going, he's like, oh shoot, he hasn't sent me yet. So he looked and snapped it and then tried to throw. So I don't even know if Kalani knew that. Probably shouldn't have told him, but it ended up good.
Those are the mistakes I love.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. So he was kind of fidgeting around. I thought he set me in motion. So I kind of started slowing down, like, oh shoot. But we got it, and then touchdown. Let's go put that. Do I have 8 open?
I think 8's open, right?
8 open.
Okay, we're going 8. That leaves us two spots. All right, so we're going to throw the board up and put it at number 8. Leaves us just 2 catches left. So
10 and 1.
All right, so we have 1 and 10. Okay. All right, so this one here, 2022.
Yeah.
Touchdown Utah Tech.
Well, that's a good one. I'm hoping that you have this last one.
Yes. He's been waiting the whole time and it's not there. This was in your back. Your number wasn't even 2. You were 27.
27, yeah.
This is your freshman year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fun one. Kind of
that speed.
That's like a straight post, right?
Yeah.
Throw that, but Jaren just knows.
Jaren, yeah. I loved, yeah, that was awesome to have Jaren there and being a freshman and getting opportunities. It was awesome. I wish I could put it higher, but I would have to put
it. We got
it,
one spot to
because I have one so in my mind.
Okay,
yeah.
So here's my question. We have one catch left. You're putting this one near the back. What was it? This was going to be 8 or 9, right? It was like right near the back, right? Okay, we'll throw the board up, meaning we have only one catch to go, meaning it's going to have to be number 1. We hope it's the right one. So here we go.
Hopefully.
Just tell me the team it was against.
Baylor.
Dang it! How does that happen?
Okay. Is Baylor...
Here's what we're gonna show you. This was not too bad though. This is the last catch. This is gonna be the epic game against Kansas State last year.
That was a good one.
And that's not bad. That's right at the sideline. But somehow we missed his favorite catch of all time.
I know. So the reason why I think the Baylor 2022 was my freshman year and the first time I ever played in LaBelle Edwards Stadium, and there was a big catch that I had before halftime. Kind of the toe tap in the back of the end zone that was just phenomenal. Like for me, just having the crowd go crazy, it being my first ever game, I've never felt that, you know, energy before. So.
And I thought Arkansas was going to be your number one the whole time. So, all right. Thanks for playing. That was Chase's choice. Yeah. All right. Good stuff.
I'm not very good at that game, as you can see.
No, we had a lot of good stuff to go through on that one. All right, after this break, some Q&A for the coach and Chase Roberts and some BYU football trivia. And BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. Stay with us.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics, Waystar, and Smarty, address data wizards.
We welcome you back. We've got a full house in Studio C for BYU football with Kalani Sitake. Let's head to our studio. It's our first Q&A segment of the season, brought to you by Ken Garf. We hear you. We have time enough to hear one great question from a gentleman named Steven at our studio mic. Hello, Steven. Your question is for?
Chase. Yeah, so in the Will Farron bit, they talked about mental fortitude, and I'm just wondering, having a first-time starter being a true freshman at BYU, what is the receiver core doing to help build his mental fortitude when he's making those mistakes, when he's having those sort of growing pains?
Yeah, I think just assuring him that, like, he's our guy. There's a reason he's the starting quarterback, because he earned it, and I think he understands that. So whenever he makes a wrong play, it's, hey, let's remember why you're the starting quarterback, because you're a stud and you're a D1, you know, starting quarterback. And making sure that he has the guys around him that love him and care about him, even when we all make mistakes, right? Just assuring him that that he's there for a reason, that he has the ability to go out and win a lot of games. And, you know, it's not just we put him in this position to take care of the ball and make sure he doesn't turn it over, but no, we put you into this position to go make plays, because you're the guy, and you're going to be the reason why we win a lot of these games this season. And I think it gives him that confidence and that, you know, assurance that, you know, there's a reason why he's there, and you know, I think he understands that. So
thank you, Steven. Yeah. Kalani, what do you think about the help Bear has around him?
Yeah, he's got great guys around him, and it helps that his brother's one of them, but he has a bunch of big brothers that want him to succeed. And like Chase said, we just want him to be himself, and he's take the right risks, and but more than anything, make plays, because that's what you're there to do, and have fun. I mean, these guys, they work so hard. This is the time to just let it loose and have a good time, and time to party in Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Here we go.
I hear you. Sorry. All right, it is coming up on break time, so let's take another break with a BYU football trivia question. Here is our question. Speaking of Bear Bachmeyer and true freshman quarterbacks, who was the first ever true freshman to start a game at quarterback for BYU? The answer is coming up right after this. This is BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. We're back in a minute. Kalani Sitake, here's my trivia question. By the way, I'll have you all know, Kalani got this instantly in the break. This was no-brainer for him. The answer, Kalani, here is what?
Yeah, Drew Miller. I was on the team, so I better know that.
We were in El Paso in 1997, first ever true freshman to get the nod, and Bear Bachmeyer will be the first true freshman to open a season for BYU coming up this Saturday. All right, Portland State and BYU this Saturday night. Let's know the foe a little bit. It is Portland State coming in off a week zero setback, Tarleton State. You see some tidbits about the Vikings there. Now, Tarleton State's a good FCS football team, Coach. They were top 10 for a lot of good reasons. They played very well. I think Portland State could have scored some points, missed a couple field goals, had some turnovers. Got to be ready, even though it's a team that you think you should take care of.
Yeah, and I mentioned it before, we want to be at our best, and they're lucky they were able to have a first game, you know, and you can see some of the first game mistakes happening, and hopefully we had enough scrimmages that we can overcome those, and, you know, we can just get ready to play ball. So I'm looking at the maturity of our team, and hopefully with all the returning guys that were there, that will execute a high level, but you know, I think we can overcome any adversity or any problems with energy and effort, and just want to get to the game and see what happens. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Broadcast schedule for this Saturday. Let's take a quick look at how you can watch and listen to the game against Portland State. BYU Sports Nation Game Day and Cougar Pregame Live on BYU TV and BYU Radio, respectively. You can watch it on ESPN Plus, hear it on BYU Radio, and then get BYU TV and radio postgame coverage right after the contest. Final 30 seconds. So, Chase, a final word from you and Kalani from you before we kick this thing off.
Yeah, just grateful for all of you for coming, and excited to see you all at Lavelle Edwards Stadium this Saturday, and hopefully you can all make it. Cougar Nation has been amazing, and I'm the big reason why I came back this final season to play, just because of the love that you guys have and the joy that I feel when I step onto the field. It's pretty remarkable, so thankful for all you guys.
Let's get a go, Cougs, from Kalani, and we're out of here. Thanks,
Kalani. Enough said, right there.